Start your day, the Torah, Rabbi Yehuda Malmsteen.
So today's Lag BaOmer. I wanted to think of a title for this shiur, and I thought the most honest title is my first Lag BaOmer. Why is it my first Lag BaOmer? So Lag BaOmer is really a day that nobody thinks too much about. We don't understand very much about it. We know we don't say Tachanun. Besides that, until recently, there was no such thing as a fire either. But Tachanun, you knew. You don't say Tachanun Lag BaOmer. And you can have a Chasna Lag BaOmer. That's about more than that. Something to do with Reb Shimon Yochai. It's Yom Hulad Reb Shimon Yochai. So I wanted to share with you some thoughts that I had now about Lag BaOmer, and it started from a question that I had during Sfira, which counting Sfira. A few nights ago when I was counting Sfira, I was disturbed by a very simple and obvious question. After Sfira Sa'ima, we say, Horachmon hu yachse lonu avoidas beis hamigdash limkoim b'meir yomein. Some say amen sell, some say don't say it. Why Limkoima? You want the Beis Hamikdash to come back? You want Mashiach to come? What's Harachmon Yachzor Avodas Beis Hamikdash Limkoima? To its place. What's its place? It's a place where there's no barriers. Rabbi Akiva said, Ashreichem Yisroel, you're so lucky. Why are you so lucky? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matayu you. Ma'amik v'metayas ha'tmeim, Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayas Yisroel, Ashreichem, you're so lucky, you're such lucky people. Mikveh, metayah, how's the mikveh metayah? You go into the water. As long as there are no barriers. So the Torah of Klal Yisroel, which is directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, ma'amik v'metayas ha'tmeim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayas Yisroel, is Rabbi Akiva, is Limkoima. What's it got to do with us? If you ask anybody, what's going on in Russia? What's going on in Ukraine? They'll say, well, there's a war. There's a war in Ukraine. Is there anything to do with us? Yes, energy prices are going up. Yes, we're very concerned because who next? Where's Russia going to invade next? They invade Ukraine. What's the Torah come to tell us? Most people will think that they fit into one of two categories. Either the category of people who are very laid back and very relaxed, and they just say, I have betochen in the Ribbono Shel Olam, I trust Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam is showing me Yisrael. And in any case, we shouldn't really be too bothered, because after all, las is nekoma bagoyim, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to pay them back. The Ukrainians, for Doris, have done what they've done to us, and we shouldn't be bothered. Russia invades Ukraine, Ukraine is having a hard time. Well, it's hot nish mit uns, nothing to do with us. I have betochen, I trust the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not nervous, I'm not worried, I'm not anxious. And then other people say, of course I'm panicking, of course I'm getting nervous, of course I'm anxious. There's a war on, it's totally unexpected, and who knows what's going to happen. Chalila, there's nuclear warheads, there's this, there's that, who knows what's going to happen. They fit into one of those two categories. Either relaxed, laid back, I have betochen, I trust the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Yisrael, or they have the other attitude. Panic, nervousness. The world order is being challenged. We thought in the 21st century such things wouldn't happen. Superpower, member of the Security Council of the United Nations, Haitochen, how could it be that they do these things? How could Russia do it? And then you open a Gemara in Yevamos. And the Gemara in Yevamos says, everybody's wrong, you're totally wrong. You're totally wrong to have betochen and be relaxed. And you're totally wrong to panic. What are you meant to do? The Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, says as follows. Ein Poronos Bola Oilam El Bishvil Yisrael. You want to know why Russia invaded Ukraine? What's it for? Bishvil Yisrael. What does Bishvil Yisrael mean? So you look in Rashi, and Rashi writes four words. Just four words. These four words can completely change our approach. So
to what?
To what's going on in Ukraine. What's happening in Ukraine? Why? Why did Russia invade Ukraine? So we say, I've got this pshat and that pshat. Well, as I said before, you have a reaction of bitochen, I'm relaxed, I'm calm, I'm not nervous, I trust Hashem, I'm Hashem, Rabbi Hashem, Hashem Yisrael. You see, Malachim asked the Acherim, Anthony came along and sorted the drink. Yeah, everything's all right, everything's okay, Rabbi Hashem will take care of us, Rabbi Hashem sends his tzaddikim, his shluchim, his people, everything will be all right. No need to panic, don't get nervous, just trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Shem Yisrael. Or the people who panic and say, well, who next? Is Russia going to invade Poland? Are they going to invade Germany? What are they going to do? So Rashi says what we're meant to do. Bishvil Yisrael Liyaram, to make us scared. The goal of everything, of the hurricane in the Philippines, of a volcano erupting, is only to make us scared. Why? Kedei Shiachsu B'tshuva. That's what Rashi says. You can argue with me as much as you like. You can't argue with Rashi. Liyaram kedei shiachsu b'tshuva. The purpose of all the issues, recession, violence, tsaras in the world, everything is only to make people nervous, kedei shiachsu b'tshuva. Not people, Yisroel dafka. It's not for the goyim. This is not for the Ukrainians. This is not happening because of them or for them. It's only for us, Kedei Shiachsu B'tshuva. So it's in Rashi. Shock, no? Isn't it shock to the system? We thought, if we're tzaddikim, we'd just be relaxed. We'd just say, look at the Ukrainians. Where do we come from? Ukraine. I come. You probably also come. Everybody sort of comes from Ukraine. Where do you come from? You come from Ukraine somehow. Yeah. We come from Ukraine. It's nothing to do with it. It's Kedei Shiachsu B'tshuva. What's the pshat? Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says there in Yevam, this is actually very close, one is the Gemara Samach Bet, Gimel, the other Samach Beis. The Gemara says there in Yevam is that we know Rabbi Akiva, we know Lag Boim is the day when the Talmidim stopped dying. The Gemara doesn't say that actually. The Gemara says, It was Remeya, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon, Reb Loz ben Shemua. Reb Loz ben Shemua is the fifth one. And they were Ma'amid Torah. So the first thing is, again, you've got the war in Ukraine. What you hear that city is Shomim. It's like it's desolate. Which city? Mariupol, right. So this Gemara tells us, you got it wrong, you don't know what Shomim means. What does Shomim mean? Rashi says, Shomim means Shinishtach HaTorah. If the Torah is forgotten, it's Shomim. If you have a city which is in Shtak Chot Torah, there's no Torah in that city, it's Shomim. It looks beautiful. It's got fabulous houses, amazing shopping, beautiful parks. It's Shomim. It's desolate. Nishtak Chot Torah. The world was Shomim. Why? Because Tamid Rebbe Akiva were Nifta. How do you change the world? How do you recreate the world, rebuild the world? Torah. Who threw? Just five people. Just five Talmidim. It's a very small cheder. It's a very small, tiny yeshiva. You can say, wow, what a big yeshiva, amazing. I mean, it's a bit of a contrast. This yeshiva, it's not like Mir. Mir has maybe after 10,000. This is 24,000 Talmidim, a massive, massive yeshiva. And now it's a much smaller yeshiva. How much smaller? It's just got 5 Talmidim in it. That's it. But then it was Nishtak HaTorim Yisrael, and now it's not Nishtak HaTorim Yisrael. Then the world was Shomim. It doesn't just say that place was Shomim, it says the world was Shomim. The world was a world of Nishtak HaTorim, not just because of Tamir Rabbi Akiva. Now the world doesn't have Torah in it. It also changes our mindset. What's called Shomim? What's called a desolate place? A place of Nishtak HaTorim. Place and Shtakto is Shomi. But that's not what I wanted to share with you. Rabbi Akiva had these Talmidim, one of them is Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Today it's with Mazke, the Tanner Rav Shimon ben Yochai, maybe sang by Yochai, maybe sang all the things we're meant to sing. Those of you who have a Siddur even see where this Shir is Marumas in by Yochai. So what did you say? Didn't see it? In Baichai, this shir, the fact that Nachum David asked me to say shir on that poem, it's mamash in the Siddur. Yeah, in Baichai. Baichai says, yeah, in Baichai, Lim Kaim Avnei Shaish. That's Mamshen, Avnei Shaish. It's the place of Avnei Shaish, the stones of marble. That's why it's Merumas in Bar Yochai. It says Shimon Yochai went into Amora. Why did he go into Amora? Because he was very truthful. He said the absolute truth. He said the truth that all the things the Goyim have done, which are so amazing and so fabulous, they didn't do it for us, they did it for themselves. It's Gemara's Shabbos Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. They did it all for themselves. Lo yitikna tzerech atzmon. Kom ashtikna yitikna tzerech atzmon. Tikna shvokim. Lo hishman zoynis mechitzoyis. Lo admen atzmon. Geshoyim mitlmen meches. And that's why they had to hide in the cave. Now there's times when you're too truthful. You're too straight. And you have to run away. You run for your life because you're too straight. You're too honest. And it says here in the Gemara that they went into the cave for 13 years, and when they came out, they looked, kamokim shenois nemeinei miyad nisraf. So they went back for another 12 years. Another 12 months. They said, Mishra Shom again, and you'd be Schoidish. The Baskel came out, say to him, ask him, you go out from the cave. What's the pshat? There's a moedikal limud over here for Lag Boim of us. Lag Ba'omer is the time when we go out of the cave. We're in the cave. We have to go out of the cave. And how do we go out of the cave? We go out of the Ma'ora with a new outlook, a new perspective on life. Our outlook now when we go out of the cave is tolerant. We now have tolerance. We now have savlonus. At the beginning, for all those years, they learnt and learnt and learnt, and they came out. And they said, what's going on? The 12 months back in the Ma'ara produced a change, a much higher place, a place of tolerance. I saw in one of the Chassidus Sforim, it says, there's a chiluk, a big chiluk between Korbonus and Keteris. Korbonus is a tremendous level of Iskaris HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keteris is even higher. Because Keteris, you go lifnai b'ifnim on Yom Kippur. You go inside of in Kodesh Kedoshim. What is Keteris? What's so amazing about Keteris? Keteris includes Chelbono. Keteris is its acceptance. Not everything is the way I like it to be. That's the bechina of Shimon Yochai when they came out of the Ma'ara, and now they look at everything, and it's not Nisraf. Because it's a much higher level, it's like Keteris. It's a darg of Keteris. Rav Shimon Yochai and his influence on the world is to change the matzav of Nishtak HaTorah to Loid Nishtak HaTorah, to the Hemidu Talmidim. What is the root? So let's go back to my question. Why is it on every night of Sfira we say after the mitzvah, if we count a Sfira, we say, Arach miyach salam rois mitzvah koim behemimi? So I thought as follows. Really, we could say the same harachmon after karbonos every single day. Why don't we say once a year during Sfira we say this harachmon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return to us avodas beis hamikdash l'mkoimo? And the second thing is, what's the dogish on l'mkoimo? And I want to answer as follows: avodas beis hamikdash we're doing now, but we're not doing it in its place. We're all doing Avodas Beis HaMikdash. What is Avodas Beis HaMikdash? All our learning, all our davening, all our chesed, all our avoda, all the challenges we face, that's Avodas Beis HaMikdash. But it's not Bim Koima. It is Avodas Beis HaMikdash. Every single second of learning Torah, every avoda of Tikkun HaMidos, this is not yet Bim Koima. Because Bim Koima requires the removal of the chatzitza. That was what Rav Akiva was talking about. He said, Ma mikva matayas hatmeim af kodesh baruch hu matayas yisroel. What's he say? Rav Shim ben Yochai and Rav Loza, his son, returned to the cave because they thought of themselves as Rishoim. Why did they see themselves as Rishoim? Because wherever they looked, they saw Menichin Chayolim Oisim Chayesho. And therefore they blamed themselves. They didn't blame other people. They didn't say these people are bad because Menichin Chayolim. They understood if we go and we look at them, and as a result of that, they are Nisraf, there's a pogam in us. We haven't got the tolerance. We haven't got the k'toris. We haven't got the darga of savlonus. So avodas beis hamikdash is avodas savlonus. It's an acceptance place. So in this, in amongst our soranissim of the beis hamikdash, many of them show acceptance. What's the first acceptance you see over there? Oimdim tzvufim mishtachim revochim. Accept other people, oimdim tzvufim. They recognize if you're oimdim, if you're standing, if you're rigid, if you're strong, if you're tough, if you're controlling, then tzvufim, everybody's getting on my nerves. Everybody's driving me mad. Oimdim tzvufim. But mishtachvim, you're more easygoing, you're more relaxed than revochim. Loikivu gishomim eishalatze amarocha. It looks like gashmius and ruchnius are a contradiction. Like it actually says in Chovas Halvavos. Chovas Halvavos says in the same way you can't have fire and water in one cup, you can't have Avas Olam Hazeh and Avas Olam Habo in one human being. It doesn't mean you can't have Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. Rebbe had both, Shnei Shulchanos. But the Avas Olam Habo, the Avas Olam Hazeh means the obsession, the devotion to it is either one or the other. Either one thing is important or the other is important. They are, there's always a shadow, what's the ikkar, what's the tofel? There has to be an ikkar, there has to be a tofel. There can't be two ikkarim. It's like you ask somebody, why did you do this to me? So he says, well, first of all, because of this and this and this. And second of all, because of this and this and this. Well, one of them's the real reason, one of them's not. You always see, think about it, it's true. Said, well, the reason why I did this to you is because blah, blah, blah. And the second reason is, the second one you're just making up. Or the other way around. The first one you're making up, and the second one is when you come to the point. So there can't be two ikrim. So, in the Beis HaMikdash, like Kivuk Shom Eishalat and Arocha, there was absolute harmony, there's absolute tolerance. The Gishalist of Chaim Lozhin says this in his Pirush on Ovis. The rain didn't put out the fire, meaning to say the Geshem, the Gashmias, didn't put out the Ruchnias. It was no stira. There's no stira in Gashmias and Ruchnias. So the Oren Einim Namid, it didn't take up any space. Oren Einim, it doesn't take up any space at all. What's Tretni, it doesn't take up any space. There's no disturbance. Nothing bothers you. You can cope with him sitting next to you for the whole of Satya day, the whole morning. You can cope with it till the end of the shir. You're tolerant, you're relaxed, you're easygoing. The Leikivuk Shomei Shatz Marocha is the same Yisoid. That's Ketoyus. That's the Yisoid of Aaron HaKoyim going inside the Beis HaMikdash, because it's all about going back in Koyma, meaning we want our Avodas Beis HaMikdash to reach a higher place. We want it to be in Koyma. In that place, Aaron HaKoyim was able to enter Lifnai B'Lifnim with the Ketoyus, with this Savlonus, with the Chelbono, because Aaron HaKoyim is Ayav Shalom Raid of Shalom. Aaron HaKoyim is the anti-competitor. You have a special monopolies commission to look into competition. Is it fair? Is it not fair? Aaron HaKoyim is the anti-competitor. Because Aaron HaKoyim sees his younger brother Moshe chosen and Baruch HaVasomach B'Liboy. But it's not just, I'm not too bothered. It's Mamash V'Somach B'Liboy, which is an incredibly high madriga, incredibly high level. If somebody says to you, I've got a lot of bad middos, but kinah isn't one of them, so you say, we've got another problem, that's truth. It's built into human being to be disturbed by another person. Aaron HaKoyim didn't have that. He's way, way above that. So the avoid the space mission koima, how do you get it? So I want to tell you a story which I read, which I feel is a phenomenal illustration of how it's shayach, this avoidus beis hamikdash koima, and that's the side of Lag BaOmer, perhaps. There were two brothers in the yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim in Radin. They were the sons of a rov of a certain city, a very kosher city, and the gap between the older brother and the younger brother in age was over 10 years. The older brother was a tremendous Baal Musa, a phenomenal Baal Musa. He had learnt, before he came to Radin, he learnt in Lomja by Ramosha Rosenstein, Mashkiach there, and Yoimon Belaila, his mind was filled with Musa. Being Mechadish in Musa, he was a very, very big master in learning as well, but every out, when he's not in front of the Gemara, he's always been Mechadish in Musa. He was the biggest Baal Musa. His brother, his younger brother, in contrast, was an incredible Baal Kishrin. And everyone could see how he's becoming more and more and more. Beforehand, they'd learnt it by Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, who later on became who set up Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael in Petach Tikva. But this younger brother learnt Bechavrusa with a very famous person, Moshe Savitsky. Moshe Savitsky later on lived in Boston. He's a gone oilam, a literature gone, mamshu genius, Moshe Savitsky. He's an Eskin Kashas. Anyway, this younger brother was incredibly great in learning. And so much so that the Mashkiach, the Yeshiva, Blazer Kaplan, took him as a chavrusa. When the war broke out, the two brothers went with a whole group of Bochrim from Yeshiva Sarad, and they were exiled to Siberia. And when they were in Siberia, they went through absolute nightmare, the most terrible, terrible suffering and pain and freezing temperatures, and they were in the forest chopping wood, and they had extremely, extremely difficult physical suffering. Mm. One of them survived, one of them didn't survive. So we would have thought the younger one, who's younger and stronger, would survive. No, the older one survived. The older brother survived Siberia. And nobody understood it. So they asked the Mashgiach, how come the older brother, who was more than 10 years older, he stayed alive in Siberia with this horrific, horrific work and unbelievable suffering and pain and schlepping all this wood and with hardly anything to eat and the temperatures are so terrible. How did he survive? So he said, I'll tell you why, he was never in Siberia. He was never there. He was in Musa. His head was in Musa. He was just in Musa. He wasn't in that place at all. It was a different place. His brother was a yeshiva man. His brother learned away when he was away from Beis Medrash, away from the yeshiva, away from his chavrusas, away from everything. He was in Siberia. He was destroyed from the impossible conditions. But the older brother, he never went to Siberia. He said that he remembers that in the middle of the working, he grabbed hold of the other worker and he said to him, I've got a new old mahalach in Musa. And he says, what are you talking about? You're meshugana, you're crazy. If you even talk to me, you'll get shot. He says, no, but I have to share it with you. I just had a machshava. I just had a tifa rayin, a new machshava. He wasn't in Siberia, Bechlal. So when we say, Harachmanu yachselona avoides beis hamikdash l'mkoyma, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a different mokum. It's going to be a different place. Rabbi Shimon Yochai wasn't in the same place. Shimon Yochai is in the Ma'ara. He's in the cave. He's in the Ma'ara. So much so that even when he comes out of the Ma'ara, he's in the Ma'ara. When he's out of the Ma'ara, he's also on another world, another plane. In our Hachonah for Shavuos, in the days that we lead up to Matan Torah, we want to know, that world was a world of Nishtakha Torah. The world was Shomim. How did it change? B'Shem Ben Yochai. Today's Baal Elulah, the B'Shem Ben Yochai. They're in another world, they're in a Ma'orah, they're in a cave. They're another, away from the world, they're a different world completely. You say, how's it Shaykh? Aaron HaKoyen can go lifnai v'lifnim, a place where no one's ever allowed to go. It says even Malochim couldn't go into Kodesh Kedoshim, it was too holy. How did they get it? His answer is, because he wasn't in the same place. When we're learning through the Sphira, through the days, day by day, and by the way, these days it says there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael to write on a letter, the days you write, Mem tes moinim, mat moinim. Because every day is a treasure. Mat moin, it's a treasure. Today's a treasure. The treasure of Lag BaOmer. Value the treasure. B'Shem Ben Yochai, when he came out of the cave the second time, he valued the treasures. He realized he sees everywhere what he sees. He doesn't see it the way he saw it before. He sees it differently. Because there's always treasure, a bit deeper. So many times I learned this Gemara Yevamos. But I never had those four words of Rashi. I didn't see the matmoin there. The Rashi's telling us a simple thing. Don't have the attitude of, who cares, it's Ukraine. We have bitochen. Don't have the attitude, let's panic and get nervous. What should be the outlook? Le'yaram k'dei she'yachsu b'tshuva. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this because he sees within us the matmoinim. He sees our potential. He sees our ability to change. He sees we're nearly there. We're nearly there. Come up there. We're almost there. We're not there quite, but we're nearly there. So Rachmon Yachzalona Ha'oiz Beis HaMikdash M'Kayim M'Hevi Amin. May.